I think that this man who was brought to the Lord this night through curiosity became a Christian. And his name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you'll see him in heaven one day. Nicodemus. Don't forget to watch out for Nicodemus. He is one that we have great confidence that he is in heaven. Now, for a long time, there was no one among the Pharisees that had ever become a Christian. No one that had betrayed that inner circle of elite Pharisees. It was a club, and few would break out of it. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher. Here at the Free Presbyterian Church, we have our Sunday services, 10:30 and 6 p.m. At the close of the program, we'll be giving you details about our Sunday morning ministry on the series, The Seven Sayings of the Savior, and also our series on Revelation, The Sights and Sounds of Heaven. We do invite you always to our church services. We do invite you to join us on our webcast at our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And today we're looking at John chapter 3, Nicodemus coming to Jesus by night, asking him the way of salvation. What an amazing opening in the heart of this man to inquire about salvation. So many other Pharisees were hardened and incensed against the Lord. But Nicodemus had an inquiring spirit. He was hungry for truth, and he found Jesus, who is the truth. He was seeking for light, and he met Jesus, who is the light of the world. And that day the spiritual darkness was dispelled, the clouds of unbelief were lifted, and Nicodemus was be born again by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I trust that that will be your testimony too, that you will know the regenerating work of the Savior, drawing you to faith and salvation, trusting in Christ alone for peace with God. So stay tuned with us now as we let the Bible speak today, and may the Lord bless you.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his helpless hand than to be thy king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords to. Than man's applause, I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's grand sway.
Father, we take to heart your word today. We pray that you'll write it upon every one of our hearts, and that each one here today will truly be born again by the Holy Spirit. We thank thee for the miracle of conversion. We thank thee for that wondrous power that turns us from darkness to light, from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God's dear Son. Will thou work that work today and bless your own word to each and every heart. Hear us from heaven, answer for us, we ask, and bless us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. I wonder, is there a Nicodemus here today? Somebody who's just like this religious Jewish questioner. There are three pictures of Nicodemus in John's Gospel. We have him here in John 3 in darkness. He's coming by night. And that darkness states what's in his heart. He's got more questions than answers. And the Lord reveals that he needs light. Then in John 7, we have Nicodemus in the twilight. And he's standing up for the Lord, and he defends the Lord against those who are critics. But he backs off a little. And so he's not yet in the full light. And then when we get to John 19, we discover that he is in the full light, because he's unashamedly and openly taking the body of the Lord Jesus to be embalmed. And he is a part of that process. He is an open, unashamed disciple or believer in the Lord Jesus. Do you think that he was born again? I do. I think that this man who was brought to the Lord this night through curiosity became a Christian. And his name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you'll see him in heaven one day. Nicodemus. Don't forget to watch out for Nicodemus. He is one that we have great confidence that he is in heaven. Now, for a long time, there was no one among the Pharisees that had ever become a Christian. No one that had betrayed that inner circle of elite Pharisees. It was a club, and few would break out of it. Well, Nicodemus was the first. And here we see him coming under the cover of darkness because of all that he was and all that he was involved in and the criticism that he would receive if others knew that he had come looking for a personal interview with the Lord Jesus. Nicodemus came to the full light of the gospel. But in this dark period, well, the big question, and really it's one of those statements that it's half question and half answer. And he says, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, because no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And it's one of those statements that I've got to face this. This is real. And of course, the Jewish people were trained to think that a true prophet would be accompanied with miracles. That was true of Moses. Think of Moses, who was the prophet of God sent to deliver the Israelites, and how he stood before Pharaoh, and those that use of the rod and the 10 plagues that were brought upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians. He was a man of miracles, therefore he was a true prophet. And Nicodemus was facing this as he considered the Lord Jesus. You may try ever so hard to skirt the facts concerning the Lord's supernatural powers, but you're going to be brought back again and again to face the reality that this man had to be from God. Indeed, that he was right to claim to be the Son of God. And so the question comes, what are you going to do with the Lord Jesus? But note how the Lord handled this inquiry. The issue was not merely about facts relating to the Lord's genuineness. The Lord turned the searchlight right upon Nicodemus, and he shone right upon this man, and he brings the issue to him. Ye must be born again. And the big thing was that he was not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Wow. Imagine looking into the eye of a Pharisee and telling him that message. And so to be fit for heaven, we learn that a very dramatic change is required. And we learn that no one, by nature, nor even by their own attempts, can make themselves ready for heaven. And the meaning of being born again requires a very dramatic change. And of course, like Nicodemus had to face up to the need of his own life, you and I have to face up to that as well. I want to look at this in a number of ways. I've got 5 points today, but some of them are short, so they're just equal to 3. So don't think we're going to be extra long here today. But the question is, do I have a change in my heart that equals to the new birth experience? Now, this need for a powerful change is seen in that Nicodemus was not fit for heaven. Jesus said it, no man can see the kingdom of God except he be born again. This is almost laughable that such a ruler of the Jews, the most privileged of the enlightened people on the face of the earth, there's not another nation that had more Bible light, more knowledge of the true God than these Bible-based people, as they had their own scriptures. And here was the Lord pointing out to Nicodemus, you're still not ready for heaven. Does not matter who that man is, Jewish rabbi, whether he be pope, president, prime minister, Hindu, guru, religious leader of any stripe or kind, without a new heart, without the new birth, you are not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, in what way was Nicodemus not fit for heaven? Well, he was a son of Adam. That's the first issue. He had all the Adamic nature and all the Adamic guilt built right into his life. His bloodline was sinful, right back to Adam. And therefore, he was a man living with the guilt and living with the condemnation of sin. And that is true of every individual in this world. And you need to be born again because you are a child of Adam. And the line of sin runs in your blood from generation to generation, right down to your own heart and life, by nature, you are a child of Adam and of sinful nature. Now, verse 6, you'll notice how the Lord impressed on him, that which is flesh is flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that just brought Nicodemus down to zero. He could not claim his special heritage, could not claim his nationality, could not claim that he was in any way up on the rung of the ladder on his way to heaven. He was just flesh. That means he was carnal. That means that he was weak, unfit for the kingdom of God. He was also party to a people who boasted in self-righteousness. And that really is the poison in the cup. To be man and to be flesh, to recognize that you're nothing, that might bring some hope. But when that is covered over and veneered with self-righteousness, then it is just rottenness to the bones with a veneer of self-attempts at justification. Now, these Pharisees were renowned for this. They made their long prayers in public places. They also put on long faces to go along with it, just to show that they were very serious and therefore very holy. And the public may have been impressed, but the Lord was not necessarily impressed. Pharisees were a special elitist group, and they looked down at others, and they considered others inferior and themselves to be superior. Now, that is just pride, sinful, carnal nature at work. And it only proves the point. It only brings the searchlight right, focuses it upon your heart, that if you claim that you're good, better, somehow that you have merit for heaven on your own terms, that's just the cover-up the Lord is exposing here. And it proves the point that you need to be born again. Now, even the most religious, of course, will give account on the eternal day. And this man Nicodemus, no matter his birth, nationality, privileges, no matter what light he had in the past, no matter what he was claiming, he would stand before God naked in his own name and his own sinful state. And that's how each of us are going to stand before God. Now, what is the state of your heart? Do these things apply to you? Well, you're a son of Adam. That's a given. We don't have to argue that one. You're carnal in your own flesh. There is no good in human nature. We could go to Romans 3 and talk about we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is nothing but guilt from head to toe. We boast in ourselves. Man has this tendency to think that the whole universe revolves around him or her. We think that we walk on the face of this earth as the people entitled to all. But in reality, we're just worms. We are just dust made of the clay. And we cannot lay claim to any self-righteousness. And of course, one day we too will stand before God and give account naked. Naked. It'll not be covered up with the dollar sign. We will not be covered up with our own rags of self-righteousness. We will not pretend anything. You will just stand before God as you really are, a sinner, lost, unfit for the kingdom of God. And the verdict will be awful. The verdict will be, depart from me. You're not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, this need for a powerful change is also seen in the analogy that is given here when it speaks about a new birth. The change described is certainly no small one, and the Lord likened it to a second birth, or a birth from above. And again, this is very dramatic language, and I am ever surprised at the number of people that greatly struggle with the whole concept of being born again. It seems to be something that is so mysterious and strange. And certainly the common person who hears born again, it usually goes over their head. What exactly was the Lord getting at? Nicodemus even missed it, because he had this concept that physically he would need to re-enter his mother's womb and be born again. But what the Lord was really driving at is that there are likenesses. This is analogous to, it has similarities to, the birth of a baby into this world. And of course, the new birth is the point where life begins. You know, we cannot say that life begins until that umbilical cord is cut and the child takes the first breath. Or maybe it's the other way around. I better be careful here. This is not my forte, but maybe the breath comes before the cord is cut. But when the child breathes its first breath, that's when you say life begins. Now, I'm going to qualify as well. I absolutely believe life begins in the womb at conception, but we talk about the first breath of life, and that's the new birth. And when you are converted, born of the Spirit, then you come to life, because we by nature are dead in trespasses and in sins, and we need that very new birth. Now, the second thing to notice is that the new birth bestows life from outside of ourself. It is the mother that gives life to the child. And of course, the child can never say, I was born by myself. I will make it my way and do it myself. The mother is the means of being brought into the world, and it is through her period of gestation, it is through her birth pangs that life is given to the child. And of course, in that sense, life is a gift. Life is given to the child. And in grace, in the power of God in the gospel, when you are born again of the Spirit, it is the Holy Spirit descending, entering into your soul, giving you that new life. And that is the life of Christ entering right into your heart. Now, the new birth is life begun in the soul in time. There's a moment. There's a time that you are born of the Spirit, when you were changed from darkness to light, from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God's, into God's kingdom. And that's a moment in time. Just as you can relate your birthday, and your mother might have told you the very hour, the very second that you were brought into the world, you have a birthday. Likewise, you need to have a birthday when you're born again, born of the Spirit. And of course, if you are born again, you are given the gift of eternal life. The Lord says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. And so this is a dramatic change. This is not some light thing. This is not some claim, but I was born into a Christian home, I'm good enough, I'll do it my way. No, you need to be radically born of the Spirit, that you will have a new heart, new life, new desire. Would you turn to 2 Corinthians 5:17, and you will see the effects of this new life whenever you are born of the Spirit. And I would ask you to examine your own heart to see if you have this new birth. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ. Now, this is, and we'll get to this in our message today, but I'll pause a moment to point it out here when we're at this text. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. The new birth is not mysterious. It is equal to faith in the Lord Jesus. You become a Christian by faith in the Lord Jesus. You receive the new birth by trusting in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And the moment that you trust in Him and Christ comes into your life, you become a new creature. The margin of your Bible might show you that it means a new creation. You're made again, just like born again, you're made again. And that old nature is turned into a new nature. And you are given a new heart, new desires. We're told that the old things are passed away. Behold, surprisingly, behold, all things become new. And that's why you may hear people in their testimony of salvation will say that for me it was like the light coming on. I was in darkness and the light came on. And I saw it, I understood it, I rejoiced in it, and it was like walking into a new world. It was like sitting in a dark room and suddenly I'm led out into the daylight. And the things that were strange are understandable, comprehensible. The things that I loved, I now hate. The sin of this world, the things that turned me on, I reject. And this is the new nature by which we are born again by the Spirit. So I ask, do you have this eternal life? Do you have this new nature? Have you been born again? That's the radical nature of this new birth.
Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. We're on the air each day at this time, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., to bring you the message of God's Word, the Gospel, from the pulpit of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. Now, here at the Free Presbyterian Church on Sunday mornings, we're looking at a series on the seven sayings of the Savior from the cross. We invite you to be a part of these messages as we lead up to the Easter season. As we think of Christ, our Redeemer, hanging on the cross, we want to know, why was he there? For whom did he die? And what did his suffering accomplish? These are the great issues of the gospel. And I invite you to come, bring your family and friends along Sunday mornings, 10:30, to our Sunday services here at the Free Presbyterian Church at 188 Street and 58 Avenue, Cloverdale, here in British Columbia. If you cannot join in person, you can also go to our website. Go to for our webcast where you can view and listen to our messages on air. So join us Sundays 10:30 for these messages. Also Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. as we continue and finalize our messages on the book of Revelation. We'll be looking at heaven, looking at the glory for God's people. So join us here at the Free Presbyterian Church Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Now the website is www.cloverdalefpc.ca. Thank you for joining with us as we let the Bible speak.